Welcome back to the table, ladies. In our segment two here, we have our third day of the lesson that we're doing in 1 Peter, and I'm very excited about that. Our teacher, Connie Stanfill, is here with us, and she is here to really introduce us back again to those very first verses in 1 Peter. Connie, welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we're going to be looking actually just at 1 Peter verse 2, which Amy's going to read in just a moment for us, and we're going to find that every single word in there is packed with meaning.
Oh, it is indeed. And even in verse 1, it says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world. And then he mentions that they're scattered from several different areas, and he mentions their towns there. But like you said, Connie, in verse 2, it picks up those who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by blood. Wow. And so I'm seeing some words in there. I'm seeing words like elect, chosen, sanctified. Mm-hmm. I think it might be helpful to unpack those words a little bit.
I think so, because they're important terms for us to understand. Elect is really a biblical term, and it does mean chosen or selected or picked out one. And that's how God referred to his people Israel in the Old Testament. We went to Deuteronomy 7:6. God says, I have chosen you to be my people, to be my treasured possession. And the understanding throughout all those books of the law, Exodus and Deuteronomy, is it wasn't because they were special or better or stronger. It was because he chose in his mercy to select them. And really, the implication is here the same for believers. If you've been chosen by the God the Father, it's not because you're better or you merit salvation. He chose you.
Yeah. And I think sometimes women especially, we look at the words like elect and chosen and we think, oh, but I have thing baggage with those words because, you know, maybe there was a clique that of popular ones that I wasn't a part of. I want to acknowledge that this is not that. So when God chooses his elect, it's not about being in a clique, although you do become in a fellowship of believers with other sisters in Christ around the world.
Oh, definitely. And it's the best group to belong to of all. And it's the one where it happens because God reveals himself to us. Again, it's not because we're special or different or better. It's because he has chosen us.
Wow. Amen.
We also find right away there, I think in your version, it said strangers, Amy. Mine says exiles. And the Greek word there, parapodemos, really means that you're a foreign nationality and you have a temporary residence in some place that's not your home. And that is so true of believers. As we come to understand who we are in this world, this is not our home. Yeah. We don't belong here. We're citizens of heaven, as it says in Philippians 3:20. And Hebrews talks about it also. And so we understand, like Peter is writing, that this is not, we don't get too comfortable here. We're still pilgrims. We have a different home, a different citizenship.
Yeah, you know, that's really interesting. And I think as we become sanctified, that's another word that we're going to be talking about here. We grow in knowledge and we have these eternal eyes. We no longer look at this world as something that, you know, like your house, for instance. If you're home right now, look around and you can say to yourself, you know, none of this lasts. This is all going to be refined, burned. However, it doesn't last at all. And what does last is eternal souls. And that's key there to our growth.
Amy, that is exactly right. You've just hit what is only people are eternal.
Yeah.
And so what God asks us to do is have an eternal perspective.
Yes, he does.
Going on then, we also find that we see the word dispersion, which really means scattering. And so we know already that the believers have probably been scattered some by persecution. And truly, I think this is God's plan. If we look at what Jesus told his disciples in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 or so, he said, go into all the world.
Yeah.
And sometimes God, I think, needs to nudge and push his people into all the world because they can be comfortable somewhere. But we also know that Peter himself experienced this because we know that in Acts, after the persecution of Stephen, right away then in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it talks about great persecution broke out against the church, and they were scattered.
Mm. And you know, Connie, we talked a couple of days ago in the introduction to this lesson that a lot of the things that Peter and the early Christians were going through mirrors sort of what we're doing today. You know, here, especially in America, if you happen to live on this continent, we haven't really had persecution yet the way brothers and sisters in Christ have suffered around the world. But we're starting to see some changes, and I think they were just starting to see, boy, things aren't the way, you know, we no longer belong here. We're really being scattered. We're really starting to feel the heat.
Yes, exactly. And so I think as we work through this study, we're going to see parallels.
Yeah.
Another word I want to point out is this word foreknowledge. And really, as a biblical understanding of it, it means that in eternity past, before time began, God predetermined to have a relationship with those he chose to have a relationship with. Mm. And again, it's not based on merit. It's all his grace. And so it's a beautiful thing. If God the Father has chosen to reveal his son to you and you've come to faith in Christ, you are secure.
And the Bible says that he does that for us. He draws us. And that's so exciting when that happens. We pray before we start this program that, that you know, the Holy Spirit would draw people to him. And we're hoping that that's what's happening, even as we have these lessons.
Oh, definitely. And God's word is powerful. When we hear the truth of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it changes us.
Yeah. Let's talk about that word, sanctification. That's a big word. I think a lot of people maybe know what that means, but there are others in our listening audience who don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, it comes both in the Hebrew and then in Greek. It really means to be set apart or to be made holy. And so when God calls people and he enters into relationship with them, and of course, for believers, that's through Jesus Christ, through believing in who he is and repenting of our sins and trusting in him as Savior, that process of being set apart for God happens. And God's goal is to make each and every one of us conform to his son, to make us holy. It's God's work, but we have a part of cooperation in it.
Yeah, we do. And that part is obedience. I think that's the next word you wanted to cover. We're going to hear a lot in this lesson about obedience. And that's a key thing, isn't it?
It is. Really, truly, God desires obedience is man's response to him. In the Old Testament, for the chosen people of Israel, what did he ask them but to obey his laws? And the problem is they could not do that. That's why Jesus had to come, because they were sinners. They could not obey God. They were rebels. Jesus had to die for their sins. He bore God's wrath against our sin so that a righteous God could be satisfied. His justice could be fulfilled. And then those of us who come to understand that and turn from our sins, repent of them, trust in Christ, then we are given the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so when Peter is talking to these elect chosen people, these are believers who've come to understand what Jesus Christ has done for them. And, you know, it's not only Jesus' death, but also his resurrection, because that resurrection validated who he was and that God accepted his payment for our sin so that we ourselves look forward to the blessed hope of being with God in heaven and resurrected ourselves, really.
You know what? There are a lot of women probably listening from home, or they somehow find us on the radio dials because we do go out beyond podcasts on FM radio. We're so blessed to be able to reach people. But I have a feeling that there are some who maybe are wondering, you know, this is new to me. How do I have that kind of relationship, that saving faith in Jesus Christ? Where do I even start?
Well, it starts by listening to what God says and calling out to God and saying, I really think it's coming to take God at his word and understanding there is a God who's created everything. I'm a sinner. I've lied. I've stolen. I've had evil thoughts about people. If you go through the Ten Commandments, I personally know that at least in heart attitude, I've broken every single one of them.
Me too. Yeah.
And then understanding God has provided a way for us to be reconciled to himself by his son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. And Peter is our witness of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, and his death and his resurrection. And so he is pointing us to him.
Well, let's talk about also the words that he used in that first couple of verses, for the sprinkling of blood. You know, a lot of us think about that and think, what is this blood thing all about? So let's spend some time there and talk about that.
Yes. God set up a system, and God spoke in his word saying that without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sins. And that's what he did when he established the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, in Leviticus and Exodus. And in our study guide, Exodus 24, 3-8, it talks about the covenant coming and Moses talking to the people and then the people saying, yes, we will follow the covenant, but then he sprinkles them with the blood of a sacrifice to set them apart to God. we find that as believers now in Jesus Christ, we need, in a sense, to be covered by his blood every day because we continue to sin, and only his shed blood, the blood of a perfect lamb, was acceptable to God for our sin. And so that blood has to cover our sin now. Mm-hmm. Really, the idea is that sin causes death. If we go back to Genesis, that what God said, whoever sins will die. Well, Jesus died in our place. He's our substitute. And so the perfect Son of God for our sins died for us. And then we are the recipients of his righteousness and his grace. And so his blood is what covers our sin.
Oh, that's perfect. And you know what? We don't have to do those same sacrifices that they did back in the day because we have Jesus. He already did that. It's what is already completed at the cross.
Yes. And then when we understand that and we've been covered by the blood, then as Peter goes on, he says, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Mm-hmm. God's grace has covered our sin. Now we're at peace with God. And it's just multiplied, abundantly available to us. And if that's the reality in our life, Amy, it doesn't really matter what else happens to us.
No, it doesn't. Our bodies are now not our own. They were bought at a great sacrifice. They were bought at a high price, weren't they?
Yes. Oh. And so God's desire is then we live for him.
Mm. And we're going to continue this lesson tomorrow in 1 Peter. That's where we are, ladies. And if you've just joined us, do go back and listen to the prior podcast. You'll also find on our Bible Studies tab all the notes, all the guides, the questions that you can answer today. You can print those off if you like and share them around your own table, maybe gather a group of women, or you can do them on your own. We'd love to hear from you, too. You can write to us at connect@naomistable.com, and you can catch us there, too, if you have a question for Connie. Connie, thank you so much for joining us again today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, we'll be back tomorrow, and also Nancy and I'll be back in the next segment here to talk a little bit more about what you just heard. Stay with us.